Joining us today, the head monster himself, the entrepreneurial maven, head honcho Noel Lee, next on The Culture Catch. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at WebHSP. For all of your web hosting needs, go to webhsp.com. Joining me today on The Culture Catch, we're very honored to have Mr. Noel Lee, the owner, CEO, and founder of Monster Cable and all things that are monster. Noel, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Dusty.
Tell me, a lot of people know your products. They don't know anything about the business, how you started, how hard you worked to get it to where it is today. And you know, all the wonderful marketing techniques you've utilized, and we were just talking about this pre-internet when you really had the guerrilla opportunities not at your disposal. Tell us, when did you start the company?
I started the company in 1978, and that was pre-internet, pre-credit cards. You know, couldn't even borrow. I had to beg my way through.
Right. So, what did you see? Did you see a real need in the consumer electronic marketplace for your product specifically?
You know, I didn't know about the consumer electronics marketplace. I was an audiophile. I was a geek. You know, I was an engineer, and I had no relationship to the business. I didn't know anything about the business, but I had a love for audio.
Right.
You know, and I had, you know, Macintosh amps and KLH speakers, and, you know, so I did the audiophile thing to the max.
State of the art.
Well, not state of the art to what I could afford.
Right.
And then I said, now I got no more money, but I want to improve my system. How do I do it? And at that time, you know, people were, you know, loading their speaker stands with sand, okay, putting their speakers on spikes and all these little, you know, nuances that people were finding that they could do their system. And I said, wait a minute. Look at that skinny wire. And I'm reading up on the magazines, and all the engineering says, you know, 16-gauge wire, 18-gauge wire is plenty. Don't even bother with the wire. So my engineering, you know, mind says, well, wait a minute, let me spin around with that. You know,
right.
Bigger wire can't be worse. Okay, it's got to be better.
Right.
Let me see if I can hear a difference. And I got different kinds of wire. I just, out of Phelps Dodge, went down to a copper place, and I just got different winders. I used a drill press, and I started to wind my different wires, and I started to listen to them. So wait a minute, it's not only that bigger wire sounds better, different bigger wires sound different.
Wow, so sonic subtleties,
you know. So I started listening to all the different kind of windings I could come up with, and I came up with the original Monster Cable, and I said, you know, somebody should buy this. So I quit my job as an engineer, very secure at that time.
Right.
And I'm going to go out into the business world and start a company. I'm going to call it Monster Cable. Go to the bank, and the bank says, you're going to do what? Wait a minute, you got no business experience. You're an audiophile and ex-musician. That's two things in your disfavor. And you got no collateral, but you got an idea, and you got a product that the engineers say doesn't work, but you say it does, and you're going to call it what? Monster Cable? Son, I got no money for you.
So you had to really do the dance to a lot of investors or bank loan officials, right?
No, I went from bank to bank. It took me 3 years to get a bank that would even listen to me.
3 years you persevered,
yeah,
for bank loans.
3 years I had a beautiful business plan and just shopped it. And finally found one guy, he saw the vision. He says, no, you're a passionate guy. And I think you know what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay. And you got a vision that I'm going to share in that vision with you. So he took a risk, you know, no collateral, and loaned me $250,000. I wanted 30. He says, son, you're going to go broke at 30.
Right.
You need $250,000.
You need to be able to stretch this out over a couple of years.
Yeah, so I went door to door, man. That was like demonstration by demonstration. Here's regular cable. Here's monster cable. And I had no internet at that time, man. If I had a blog site, that would just be, you know, be a dream. I could reach so many people. So it was hard work, driving from place to place, demonstration to demonstration. But it caught on. People loved it.
What was the first breakthrough moment, the big order? Was it at one of the trade shows, or did you go into like some consumer brand or electronic store or something?
It was at a trade show. It was one of the consumer electronics shows that I could not afford to exhibit at. I had a friend who was making a tape head cleaner. He had a little 10x10 booth. And I said, Sid, do you mind if I just take a corner of your booth? I mean, just a table, just a little corner.
Right.
I got my monster cable. I just want to show some people. He said, sure. Put my little cardboard box up, the little monster cable. And people said, what's that stuff? Monster cable. Then it became the talk of CES.
That's awesome.
The people started coming, wow, monster, what an idea. This stuff looks great. It sounds great. You know, let's try it. We're going to try to sell this stuff. And people were giving away wire for free. You know, people say you can't compete with free. I had to compete with free.
Yeah, because you'd get your stereo, you'd always get the wire in it.
Got the wire for free.
Yeah.
Got the wire for free. So it's like it's like downloading. How do you compete with free? So, you know, we had to really prove it was better.
Right. And I guess, you know, if you look at audio engineers who use thicker cable XLR cables in professional use, they'd already made that leap of faith, right?
Well,
or was there some resistance? Because you guys are in that world as well.
Well, it took us a long time on the pro side of things because it went from speaker cable. That was speaker cable.
Just okay. Speaker cable.
That was high current stuff. But on low voltage, low amperage stuff, we developed some technologies that we now have over 100 patents for. But my first patent on that was what we call bandwidth balance. Different gauges of wire wound different rates.
Right.
And it was an eye-opener. You know, we're here at the Hit Factory. You know, when Michael did his stuff here and Bruce Sudeen was doing the engineering, he cabled from up here to downstairs, ran special cables down the elevator shaft.
Everything shielded, everything.
Big bundles of this special cable we did for microphones.
That's awesome.
He would not record with anything else. It was called the M1000 at that time.
Right.
He would not record with anything else but that stuff because it made such a big difference.
You know, I think people often, they overlook it. I think, you know, just podcasters, you know. I always say when we do the seminars and we speak at the gigs, get a good mic, get good cables, make sure your connectivity is solid, locked in. You want a good signal. Even if you're going to bounce down to MP3, at some point everything is going high def anyway. You might as well have the best source you can have. Don't you think?
Well,
there's that whole argument.
Well, everything digital starts out as analog because we don't live analog. I'm talking to you in analog.
True.
I don't talk to you in digital, right?
Right,
It gets recorded in digital, but it starts out as analog. And as Bruce Sudeen, you know, the guy who does all the Quincy stuff here at the Hit Factory and all of Michael's stuff, if it don't start out right, you can't EQ it back.
Right, good point.
You don't have harmonics.
Right.
If you don't have the harmonics, you don't have the ambience, you don't have the depth or the air, EQ doesn't help you.
Right.
Okay, and that's where a lot of, I think, there's a generation of recording when digital first came out. They thought they could just multi-track everything. They can stick it in your solid-state tape machines in those days, and you could recreate digitally everything that was missing analog.
Yeah.
Add the effects, add the ambience, you know. And that just wasn't the case. You listen to those recordings today, and it says, man, they're sterile, they're hard,
harsh.
There's no harmonics.
You
know?
Yeah.
So the ear knew.
But yet, you may bring up a good point. Yet the jazz guys, the jazz engineers and the classical engineers understood the limitations, didn't they? Because when they were recording, they left a lot more headroom. They recorded a lot of breath. You know, they're placing mics way off, letting the air pump.
It's about time.
Right.
Time meaning harmonics are time. Okay, so for example, you got the fundamental.
Right.
The harmonics of the tone. On that piano over there, you hit that tone. You got the fundamental, and you got all the rest of the harmonics that come after it. And the timing of those harmonics is what gives the richness. So that's why you can hear the difference between a Steinway and a Baldwin, a Stradivarius versus a regular instrument, or acoustic versus the different brands of guitars,
right?
A la Gibson here. So that's all about the harmonics, not about the fundamental.
Right.
Okay, so you want to be able to recapture that. That's what digital didn't have.
Right.
Digital didn't have the ability at its low resolution, you know, 16-bit resolution, to capture all of the harmonics, just capture the fundamental.
Right.
Ambience on your recording in this big studio here, you know, it's not the initial attack, it's the warmth of the floor and bouncing off the walls, stuff that happens after that. Well, that's what we captured in our cable. The cable distortion was about time domain distortion. That's what our patent's about.
Right.
So,
do you think we're getting it with 24-bit, or you think we're still missing?
We're there.
We're there.
We're there.
You guys have done some super audio CDs.
Yeah, we've done Monster Music.
Right.
And it's recorded in 196-24 and... What I did with that with...
Benson and Al Giroux.
George Benson and Al Giroux, yeah. Good friends of mine. And man, they just... They reached out to me on Monster Music. So look, Noel, we love the fact that you're an audio guy. And if any of the folks get that recording, get the Monster Music version, there's a little section where Al and John Burke, who did the recording, and then Don Murray, who did the recording, we talk about my mix. I mixed the whole album, by the way.
That's awesome.
And it is phenomenal, 5.1 sound. It's got the warmth and the dynamics and the bass on 2-2.
Right.
It goes down. Oh, man, it's like the floor dropped.
Right. Not this big, phony, huge, you know. We get that all day long, and I always go, man, that's not real bass.
Yeah.
That's digital bass. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I've heard it. It's goosebump time when you hear it.
Well, we got 3 Grammys on that album, man. I'm proud of that.
We
got
to do that again. We got to do that. We got to do something. Me and Sincere were talking about doing something in here. Setting the system up and recording something.
Nice.
That would be awesome, right?
I'm there for that one.
All right. What do you think, you know, looking forward at some of the things, you guys are, you're always, I mean, I just met you. A little while ago, you're already creating 17 different things. Are you always in that mode of always... When I interviewed Les Paul, Les, what do you read? He goes, manuals, because I'm always trying to perfect what I've already created or trying to figure out something new. Is that you? Is that your zeitgeist?
Well, anybody, you know, like Les and all innovators, they don't look at what people are doing. They look at what they're not doing.
Right.
And they don't look at what's been done. They look at what's not been done.
Right.
Okay, and that's where I am.
Right.
You know, just like when I invented the original Monster Cable, I wasn't happy with 16, just because, you know, 16-gauge wire is good enough. Well, that's just a challenge to create something better, right?
Right.
So we're doing the same thing, but we're in video this time. You know,
now it's all video?
Video, HDMI, high-definition video, you know, beyond high-definition. I mean, it's going to go crazy. And that's one thing I love about the digital world is what it's done for video.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
It's high-definition television.
High-definition television, and we're only at the beginning.
Right, have you experimented with any of the LED lighting yet? Because we've just hooked up with Element Labs, and I've got to tell you, it was the best thing I saw at NAB this year. They do all the big staging for all the big tours and stuff. And they said, hey, you know, we just came out with these prototypes to use in the studio. And I said, we want to use some. And they sent us some prototypes. You can add color correction with a remote, like a TV-style remote.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, LED is just getting...
And 14 watts, that's the other thing. And no heat generated. So we can set it up in here and not lose any of the coolness from the AC in the studio.
Well, it's energy efficient, which is... Everybody's focused on that today. It's lightweight, too. You mentioned the lightweight.
Yeah.
It weighs nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can program it and you're getting more and more colors. I mean, that's the disadvantage of LED. You don't have the wide range of colors.
Right.
But, boy, is it coming down in price where it can be just affordable by anyone. And you light the studio here, but how about lighting the side of your house, which is what I do with it.
Right.
And it's just like you say, energy efficient. I can leave it on all night and it don't matter.
Right.
And you don't burn it out.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Yeah. Are you developing some screens?
We are not developing screens.
I want to see the monster screen. Come on, man.
Man, I tell you what.
That's very competitive.
There is an LED screen coming out, though.
We're
not doing it. We're working with a manufacturer because the size of the LEDs are coming down. They're almost like pixels. You can get the size of a side of a building, you can make it high def.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, that's what
imagine the concert experience in the next couple of years.
Because remember, the LED is a digital device. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's an on-off thing. So you can get that spectrum now in LED big screens. That's going to be right around the corner. That might be a monster screen. That may be a monster.
That would be product. Cool. That'd be a monster screen. I'm signing up for that, man. I'm signing up for that one. I want the whole monster system, man. Are you kidding me? Do you think the musician today is better served with this new technology, or do you think there's something missing? Do you think the old days of these old studios with these really guys like yourself, really know engineering, really know sound, really know mic amp placement? There's so much. It's so a proliferation, you know, a MySpace, so much music. You're like, is it a good or bad thing?
I think it's a good, bad thing. Okay. First of all, let's talk about the good thing. The good thing is that the resolution and the data rate that you can store today and the finite samples that you can actually sample, you can get those harmonics. I mean, just listen to the samples today.
Right.
Now, granted, they're played over speakers. Speakers is your limitation. But you record strings and you sample strings, you can't tell them apart. That's because the samples are so good.
Sampling rate's great.
Yeah, sampling rate's great. And you get a lot of the warmth. Now, I'm also going to say in the same breath that speakers aren't as high resolution as they need to be, you know, because it's never the real thing. You listen to a loudspeaker, you listen to the real thing, don't sound like it.
Right, right.
But also I'm going to say that the bad part, so the technology is there to just get great sounding samples played over loudspeakers and actually get it recorded. I think we're there. So that's why, you know, monster music, we're going toward high definition sound. We call it HDS, high definition surround.
Right.
Because you got to get natural instruments and even sampled instruments. They got to sound good. They got to sound harmonically rich. You know what's ironic, Dusty? It was so funny. You know, where you got noise. Remember Dolby when they first came out? That was to get the noise out of analog tape. Right. And then you had other different forms. Everybody's trying to get the noise floor down. Then you got digital, where the noise floor is zero, and then people are adding hiss back into the album. So you got perfectly. I'm going to add hiss and scratches back into my song. So you know, maybe they're trying to make it more analog. It's kind of like taking film or video and adding grain back into it.
You can always tell, man. Yeah. You can always. It's just like, but that, you know, sometimes it works as a cheese factor. But anyway, let's talk about some of the other things you're developing at Monster Cable, because obviously you're a lot more diversified. I don't think people may be conscious of that. Maybe not the younger consumers are, but maybe some of the consumers that have grown with you don't realize how diversified you guys truly are. Tell me about some of the other things you're doing.
Well, you know, a few years ago we started power, you know, the area of, you know, because everything needs to be plugged in and everything needs AC power.
Right.
But, you know, people didn't know that there was such grunge on the AC power. Now, audiophiles knew that. You know, they had power conditioners going way back before, around the time I started Monster Cable. So all that grunge noise, which is worse now than it was 20 years ago. Why? Because you got digital noise. Okay, every computer is plugged in. You and your neighborhood, that you all share the same line.
Oh.
Every hair dryer, every electric motor, you know, every garage door opener opens up. That puts noise on the line.
And surge protectors ain't doing squat.
No. So I worked with Richard Marsh, the guru at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory when I was working together with him. And we developed a circuit called Clean Power.
Right.
And now everybody's trying to copy it.
Right.
Okay, but filter design of filtering out the right frequencies and filtering out for digital and isolation between different outlets, that's an art.
Right.
Now it's back to like audiophile. So you can.
You talked about the Macintosh. I mean, that was state of the art, you know, power amps, you know.
And, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And those power amps, like if you had that, if you went into a guy's room, you know, college, way cool, post college, cool. But anyone that had that, you knew, and they had, you know, the great Thorin's turntable or one of the other high end turntables. You knew that guy was a serious audiophile.
Well, you know, all that stuff is audible, and you know, the it's so funny. The Audio Engineering Society and all the purists and engineering guys said you can't hear that stuff. The audio guys, so I can hear it.
Yeah.
The engineering guys, we can't measure any distortion, no distortion. And the audio guy says, well, if I can hear it and you can't measure it, you're measuring the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that's where all the measurements came from. That's right. Where TIM, transient modulation distortion, came from. Right. That's where no negative feedback came from. You know, the old designs of Mattiola and John Curl. You know, now you got very sophisticated amplifiers, and they found, well, those old Macintosh, they sound really good.
Yeah.
Okay, because they didn't have all the negative feedback and all those kind of things.
Right.
But power is the same kind of deal. Okay, so it's art. It's listening to it. You can hear the different filters as we created them. So for analog, it was great. For digital, it's great too, because people don't know that all that stuff can give you little artifacts on the screen and little edginess around it. And so
cleans it all up.
We came up with Monster Power about 8 years ago now. It's just a grand slam home run. But you got to have it for a studio. You guys are using it here in the studio, man. That you just hear the difference in everything you record. Just cleans it up.
Right, right. So, Noel, where are we going, man? Where's Monster going? Where's the ride? What's next?
Well, the ride, my vision of the ride and where I would love to see it is this total convergence. Okay, where I can watch high-def movies on my computer, you know, edit and record all my tunes and then put it on a device that I can take with me. So not MP3, but the size of an iPod, but full high-res 196.24. Will love to have that. And my high-resolution headphones. By the way, secret, we're developing some high-res headphones.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so they're going to be good.
Right.
But, today's loudspeaker, today's high-resolution speaker is a headphone. It's a private listening experience. And the fact that you can get up close, you know, means... Yeah, you got to record it better. It's got to sound better. But look, the capability is there. You know, it's just a matter of this storage space and processing speed, right? Look at a digital camera. Yeah, a 5-megapixel digital camera is about as low as you go these days. And a 5-megapixel, you know, 2 years ago was... You know,
that was the high end. Yeah.
That was the high end.
Yeah, yeah, you're
and
right.
Now you got 10, you got 12. I mean, where does it all stop? That's because the processing power... has come down. The picture quality has gotten better. Sound quality, we're there. Like I said, there's nothing more to go on sound quality. Merge it all together. Okay, put it on the PC. You got all the programs to be able to do it. Now you just got to be able to store it. So how do you store 196.24 times 7.1? Okay, you got that capability on the storage. You got terabyte drives, and you got HDMI cables.
Right.
HDMI cables, people don't know. It's the finest audio cable ever made.
Got to be able to process through those.
Lossless, non-compressed audio is available through the cable. Now, people haven't created it for it yet.
Right.
You don't have the software.
Right.
But it's capable. 7.1, uncompressed audio, 196.24, right off the Pro Tools or whatever you're using to record, directly into an iPod. Oh, heaven.
Unbelievable.
And then you get that in high def. Take it around? Oh, unbelievable.
So let me ask you this hypothetically. Are we developing drones who are just going to be locked into their own little universe, or is this going to help expand the consciousness of human beings?
You know,
million-dollar question.
I tell you what, it's become a more personal world than it ever has before. You don't have to listen with other people. You know, before it was speakers.
Right.
A lot of people, everybody had a headphone. The Walkman was the first headphone, right? So it's not a share experience like it used to be. Everybody's got custom playlists and all of those kind of things. So I think that all that is really interesting. But here's what I like. The high end has come down, meaning the extreme high end, high res, big Macintosh amplifiers and big speakers, that big live experience has come down several notches.
Right.
You know, people don't care as much. It's not a big priority.
Right.
But the low end has come up.
Okay.
Okay, meaning it's hard to get bad quality sound.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We used to have 8-tracks, right?
Right.
We used to have cassettes.
I love it. You know who developed the 8-track? Les Paul.
Oh, he had a patent or something on the 8-track.
And the multi-track, you know? Who knew? I mean, people only know through his guitars, but, you know, multi-track recorder and the 8-track.
8-track is 8-tracks. Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing thing about that.
I remember
those days.
Now, when we're referring to Macintosh here, for some of the younger listeners, we're talking about the old analog tube-driven amplifiers. This is pre-Macintosh, the computer company, Apple. Some people don't know, but those are great. You find those on eBay, buy those. Even the old Harman Kardon, you know, some of those old tube-driven amplifiers and integrated stereo amps. My mother still has the one that I gave her years ago.
But the only problem with that, you got to find tubes.
You got to find the tube. Well, there are guys that just do that. They collect tubes and they sell
them. Yeah, but you got some expensive tubes out there.
I do that with my guitar amps. I'm sure you probably do the same thing.
But I tell you what, you know that. All the musicians know that. Tube amps sound the best.
Yeah.
Because they reproduce the harmonics.
Right. Warmth, baby.
Yeah, harmonics. And that's what it's all about. Talking about time, harmonics, and tone.
Love it. Love.
But I tell you what, let me encourage everybody who's listening to this, listen to the real thing.
Right.
Go out and listen to a piano unmic'd. Listen to strings unmic'd. Listen to somebody playing an acoustic guitar with no mics, because if that's all we hear is mic'd instruments and digital instruments, you never know what the real thing sounds like.
I was in a jazz club the other night, and my friend, who is younger than myself and doesn't go to, you know, he was in on holiday, he was blown away by the experience. I'm like, yeah, nothing's mic'd here. You're hearing an upright bass, a piano, and a horn player with no mics. He was like, whoa, I got to do this more often.
I tell you, I got a Yamaha Disclavier, Pro in my house. Bought it. It was like hellaciously expensive.
Yeah.
And talk about the ultimate audiophile. The ultimate audiophile is to have the real thing there.
Right.
And I got this thing in, and I had musicians come in and play on it. And boy, does that sound good.
Stevie Wonder time.
So rich. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Intervisions, right? Wasn't that on Intervisions?
Yeah. I mean, this is the most amazing thing. It sounds incredible in my house.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate speaker, is a Disclavier.
You know? Right, cool. Noel, I want to thank you for being on the Culture Cache. I look forward to seeing some more masterization activity from your camp. I'm sure we'll see it in the near future.
Well, listen, I want to say what you guys are doing and keeping these fires burning in education.
Yeah, it is. It's always an education.
Education for a lot of the things that people forgot, and all the fans that you've got here listening, learning. I mean, that just, God bless you. That's just
fantastic. Appreciate it.
All right.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Come and home with me. And that's the band Bon Iver. Their new CD, Our Own Island, that was the track Guys. Check them out. They're out of San Francisco. Hey, thanks to Mr. Noel Lee from Monster Cable for sitting with us today. And I want to thank our sponsor, WebHSP.com, for all of your web hosting needs. It's WebHSP.com. If you like our show, please leave your comments at the iTunes directory. Both our video and audio podcasts can be found there. You can visit us at culturecatch.com for amazing content. Not just written reviews, but also a lot more video and audio podcasts. We'll see you soon. Converge is the word. Culture Catch.